Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. And you'll know what I mean by that when you learn who our guest is this half hour. Rick Maurer is back with us. Rick's one of our top management experts. He's a great friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the author of Beyond the Wall of Resistance. And one of my favorite books, the second book is called, actually, I think this may have been the first one, Why Don't You Want What I Want? Something I go around saying all the time around here without any kind of, without any resolution, by the way, in with my question. He's our good friend, Rick Maurer. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's good to be back.
Whenever I ask that question, I either get silence, you know, they just sort of disregard me. Or, you know, I get, you know, whatever.
Yeah, life's not fair, Jim.
It's not, is it?
Yeah. No, it's not.
And I think it's more unfair for guys than it is for girls, don't you?
I am not going to touch that.
Come on, man up. Come on, Rick, man up. You got to. I thought you were going to be my wingman today, Rick.
Man up. Man up.
I thought you were going to be my wingman.
Yeah. Yeah, you go out there.
I think I'm on my own here. I think you're going to leave me twisting here. Hey, Rick, what's the most important thing? If you had 20, 30 million small business owners sitting at your knee, even as we speak, around the world, entrepreneurs around the world,
pen in hand, waiting to take notes.
They're sticking they're touching their pencil to their tongue right now, ready to write it down. What would be, if you only had a few minutes to talk to them about getting ready for 08, would you do? What would you talk about?
I would say two things, and they're linked. One is to, with employees, be really clear about what you want from them, and also figure out a really good way to make sure you're giving them feedback so they know where they stand.
Mm-hmm.
And the feedback is just so amazingly important, and it's just either ignored or done really poorly. And so time after time, employees just don't know what to do, and when they don't know what to do, they make it up. I forget where this came from. It may come from Ken Blanchard, the one minute manager guy, but he told a story about an experiment that was done with the game of bowling, and they taught people how to, you know, score the game of bowling. And bowling is something that gives you immediate feedback. I mean, the ball goes down, and you see what happens. So they tried an experiment. The people had been bowling, and they put a curtain in front of the pins, and to see how many people would quit bowling. And nobody quit. You know, but what they did is they changed the scoring, and they said, okay, if it makes a loud sound, you get a lot of points, and if it doesn't make a loud sound, it's in the ball. Okay. Well, it gets worse. All right, so but anyway, that loud sound, soft sound is, you know, it's all in the ballpark. I mean, you know, but then they kept the curtain there, and they put soundproof earmuffs on people. So now the ball goes down the lane, you can't see or hear it. And they were trying to see how many people would quit bowling, and nobody quit. What they did, now you can't hear what's going on, you can't see what's going on. So if the ball went into the gutter just before getting to the curtain, you got points. So you got points for something absolutely opposite the actual goals of the game, but that's what you could measure.
Huh.
And I see, you know, yeah. The sad thing is, I see that in organizations all the time, is that people don't get clear direction or good feedback about how they're doing, and we don't like ambiguity, so we make it up.
Right. Well, it's sort of like, you know, if I'm at work, you know, I've got to be doing something. I want to fill this void. It's what you're talking about is employees will fill a management void. Is that what you're saying?
You bet. That's said really well.
Employees will fill a management void or a communication void, and the bad news is it may be the wrong thing. I was just thinking of another thing that happens, and I've talked about this on the show many times before, Rick, if not with you, with other people. There will not be a branding void with your company. If your brand, there will be no brand void for you.
Yeah.
Your brand will be defined. The question is, who is going to define it? Will it be you? Will it be your customers, your unhappy customers, or your competitors? But your brand will be defined. So what you're saying is you're communicating something to your employees, even if you don't say anything. The question is whether, is it the right stuff or not?
That's absolutely right.
Yeah. Very interesting. All right, we're going to come back and talk about this a little bit more. It's a little scary, isn't it, folks? I know a little cold sweat popped out on my forehead just now, too. 20 till the hour. We're going to be right back with our good friend Rick Maurer. And, you know, he's my wingman, right? Stay with us.
Hi, Jim Blasingame. This is Gary Moore, author of Faithful Finances 101. I just wanted to say congratulations on 10 years of service on the radio to small business owners everywhere. It's hard to believe that a man of your humility and quiet demeanor could have that long a career in radio. We're very, very proud of you.
Yeah, that's me, Mr. Humility, Mr. Quiet Demeanor. That's what Rick Maurer says all the time when he tells people about me. Rick is
all the time.
All the time. Rick is with us, and he's the author of Beyond the Wall of Resistance and Why Don't You Want What I Want? And don't worry, I'm not going to go into that again. Rick, give us your website, please.
Sure. It's www.beyondresistance.com.
Tell us what you do. Tell the audience, and do a better job than I would do of telling the audience what you do.
Okay. What I call what I do is change without migraines.
Yeah.
And basically, I get called into companies that say, everybody is angry with us, you know, we don't know what to do, you know, and you know, we've got to get back on track. What do we do? And I'll go in and try to help them with strategies to get all these people who are angry at them back on the side. Or sometimes they'll call and say, hey, look, we're trying to start a major change, and in the last few times we've really messed up. I mean, we've gotten everybody mad at us. Are there things that we could do to get this thing started so that we had a lot of support from the beginning instead of putting out brush fires all the time? And that's what I do.
Are people starting to understand, do you think people are starting to understand, businesses, managers, executives are starting to understand that change is now a way of life? It's not an event or a scenario. It's a way of life that you can't just deal with change. You have to manage change. What do you think?
No, unfortunately, they're not. I mean, on one hand, if you were sitting, you know, and having a cup of coffee, people would say, yes, absolutely. The problem is they don't act that way. Every change, every major change is a big event, like it's something new. And so instead of creating organizations where we're built for change, there's a guy, Ed Lawler, wrote a book last year called Built for Change. We don't think that way. We treat it like, oh, we need to reorganize, and then we get gear up for that. Oh, we need to expand, and then we gear up for that, rather than building a culture where change is the constant.
Yeah.
So we talk about it, but we don't really create processes and systems and ways of thinking that support that.
But most people, many people who are in charge of businesses these days, didn't grow up in that kind of an environment. I mean, look. I mean, I talk about my, you know, when you talk about my experience, you know, I grew up. I came of age at a time when you could develop a strategy and it would be good for at least a year, maybe 2 years. You'd take 6 months to develop it. You'd take 6 months to get good at it, which would be the first 6 months of when you implemented it, and then maybe you could live off of it for a year and a half or so. Now, you create something. You better not take you 6 months to create it, because you're already going to be two generations behind by the time you implement it. And I mean, it's the world just moves. The only thing different about, and I've said this before, the only thing different about today and 30 years ago is not the change, it's the velocity of change.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But that velocity of change creates people feeling unsettled. I mean, there's not a chance to kind of recover from it and say, okay.
There is no recovery period.
Yeah. And so what that does to people is it sets people off balance, because you never quite know where you stand.
It's frightening. It's discombobulating. It's all those things. But Rick, it's where we are. It's what we have. There's no going back. We're not going to get out of this alive. So what do we do about it?
Well, what we do is we start. One, we recognize that, but we really sit down and very seriously recognize it. You know, it's like looking in the mirror on January 1st. We say, okay, that ain't the body I had in mind, but that's the body I got. What am I going to do?
Tell me about it.
Yeah. So, I mean,
look what Mr. Gravity did.
Yeah. But quite seriously, we need to say, look, this is where things are. So are my ways of rewarding employees, my ways of working with employees, set up to support a changing environment, or are they set up with the illusion of stability? And if it's to create this illusion of stability, like our performance appraisal systems are all based on goals that were set at the first of the year. Well, in a changing environment, goals can change in a month. Mm-hmm. They can change in 3 months. So we need to somehow pay attention to that. Do we have ways of paying attention to what's happening in our environment, like knowing what our competitors are doing, knowing about changes in our community, like new demographics and all? Are we set up for that, or each time it happens, are we surprised? And we need to start asking those questions and say,
Are we in a period where companies are at a greater risk of not making? Have we? And I think this may have been going on for now for maybe 10 or 15 years, where companies are at a much greater risk of failure because of this than they ever have been.
I don't have statistics to back that up, but I think the answer is absolutely yes.
Yeah. And see what I think happens sometimes, Rick, is the wrong thing gets blamed for this. See, Walmart gets blamed for it.
Right.
Or globalization gets blamed for it. Yeah. And it's nobody's fault. What I tell people is it's nobody's fault that our intellectual ability has created this kind of capability, because the pace of change is a result of our capability, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hold on to that thought. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more with our good friend Rick Maurer about change and what you can do about it, and especially get ready for change in 2008. Stay with us. 10 till.
Across the vein of night, there cuts a path of searing light, burning like a beacon on the edges of our sight, at the border of total darkness, and the light's divine.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out. Use them to your advantage. Both of them are there for you. No barrier to entry. If you can get in there, if you can show up there, we'll let you come on in and hang out with us and use all of our stuff, our show, the newsletter, the archives, the blog. AskJim.biz is our knowledge base. Lots of good stuff there. Check it out. Use it to your advantage. Rick Maurer, give us your website, please.
Sure. www.beyondresistance.com.
And can we find your books there?
You can.
And
in fact,
wherever
I wrote...
books, huh? wherever fine books are sold.
There you go. I had written a book. Pardon me. I have something in my throat. I wrote a book called Feedback Toolkit, which is a little thing on how to give and receive feedback. It's pretty old now. Actually predates the books you talked about.
But it's probably pretty darn current in terms of what's needed out there right now.
Well, you know, the amazing thing is it has this kind of little Energizer Bunny thing. I mean, the thing just keeps selling. And my publisher, as far as I can tell, doesn't do anything to promote it. But every year, you know, it sells, you know, enough copies that I'm happy it's still out there.
Yeah, a publisher promoting your book is an incongruous statement.
I know. I don't know what I was thinking.
So. Yeah, I don't know what you were thinking either. okay, you're talking to us about how to make sure that we are communicating properly with our employees if we whatever happens, our employees are getting some feedback, and we got to make sure that we're filling up that void with the right kind of feedback.
Yes, absolutely, and timely too. I mean, this notion that you wait till the end of the year and then you sit down and say, well, you know, Jim, you got a 3.6 on this. I mean, that's just
right.
That's really just stupid.
Yeah, you got to do it all year long.
Yeah, I mean, if something's going well, I ought to be highlighting that and saying, hey, Jim, what you just did, you know, that's absolutely right on target. I mean, and I need to tell you why, so that you know, my coming up, patting you on the back, and saying, "Hey, Jim, nice job," that feels good, but it doesn't help performance in any meaningful way. But if I say, "Hey, that project you just got done, you know, there's a couple of things I really like about it. Here's what they are," then you know.
But here's one that I didn't like.
Yes.
Or here's something we need to work on.
Yep. And if what I've got to say to you is primarily this is stuff you got to work on, I got to tell you that too, and I got to give you data. I can't just say, "Hey, shape up," "Hey,
right,
you're not doing a good job." I've got to say, "Jim," and then I've got to be specific, because that's how you learn. I mean, if I say, "Jim, you're just doing a lousy job," you feel bad, but that doesn't improve your performance. I mean, because you don't know what to improve. So you know, and it's not that hard to do if you pay attention to it, but for most of us, we avoid giving feedback, and we don't take the time to get to the basics to say, "Jim, this is what I see in your performance, and this is what I'd like to see."
When I was learning how to fly an airplane on instruments, when I was getting my instrument rating,
yeah,
my instructor said, the thing that will keep you alive in an instrument condition, when you're in the soup, when you're in the clouds, is if you make little bitty corrections.
Yeah.
He said, make lots of little bitty corrections. In other words, don't wait till you've gone 5 degrees off your navigation track to make a correction, because if you do, you'll wind up making a 5-degree correction. You'll swing all the way through your line and go 5 degrees the other way. And he said, before long, you're just back and forth. He said, watch the needle, and when it goes a half a degree, correct a half a degree.
That's a wonderful analogy.
That's what you're talking about, isn't it?
That's exactly what I'm talking about. And we don't do that. In fact, many people in the workplace.
You think it's because we're too lazy? We don't pay attention. We don't want to be talking to our employees all the time about stuff. Or what do you think?
I think we're afraid, quite frankly. I don't think it's because we're insensitive or anything. I think we're afraid to talk to somebody about performance because it.
Do we just need to practice? Do we just need to do it?
Yeah. We do. We need to do it, and we do need to do it with our eyes open so we can pay attention, so we can say, hey, that worked pretty well. Oh, that didn't work so well. You know, and then...
Do we need to train our employees and say, okay, now don't freak out. I'm going to be talking to you a lot more in the coming months. Don't get all weirded out on me here.
Well, that might be... If you haven't been doing it regularly, that probably is a pretty good thing to
probably
do.
Probably a good idea.
Yeah, or they're going to go, oh, man, he's listening to Blasting Game again.
Man,
oh,
that's exactly
no.
Right. Yeah, we'll all be killed. Hey, Rick, give us your website again, please.
Sure. www.beyondresistance.com.
Beyondresistance.com. Whatever Rick does is top shelf, ladies and gentlemen. Rick, happy holidays. Thank you for being here
Thank
today.
Thank you. You too, Jim.
We'll see you next time. Rick Maurer, ladies and gentlemen. It's always a lot of fun when Rick joins us, and we always have a good time. We always learn a lot, too, especially about change. So I got to go for just this hour, though. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know, this program is for you. And remember one more thing. Always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.